With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
How are we feeling about this new policy at MSP? At 2:03, my father will be in the house, by the way, at 2:35. Starting Monday, passengers without TSA pre-check must use a single security checkpoint. A remodel of the lobby, because we got the huge remodel taking place. Meade's security screening at the south checkpoint will be limited to pre-check, clear, and airport employees. The south checkpoint, gentlemen, has always been the better one to go to. It's the one more likely to have the pooch to check you, so you don't take the shoes off, and way more people go to the north. I go to the south almost no matter what, because you get through a clear. So much for that idea. The rest of the traveling public, including first class and all that, must use the terminal's north checkpoint. It's a part of the $1.6 billion renovation. Work on the south checkpoint is expected to be completed by mid-December. The Metropolitan Airport Commission said Friday that signs and audio messages will alert passengers where they should go. With more than 7 million members, TSA pre-check costs $85. More than 200 airports participate in that program. Clear has about 3 million and is available at 50 airports, and the cost is $179 a year. If I was flying a lot still, I'd be ticked about this, Adam. So wait a second. If I'm willing to pay, it's still available for me, but for the rabble, for the commoners, for the everyday people, nope. You have to wait. Can you imagine how long those lines are going to be in the heart of your rush hours? They're going to be 45 minutes.
Thanksgiving, Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
I'm saying the everyday ones are going to be 45 minutes. On Thanksgiving and big holidays, over an hour.
This will be one of those deals where they do it for like 2 days and then have to backpedal because it's obviously not.
Yes, Dan is 100% right. This is going to come off as tone deaf. They are going to get destroyed by the media coverage and by the social media coverage. I'm with Dan. I think they're going to be forced to change. Adam, they going to change or not? They put a lot of time into it.
Well, I mean, change, though. I mean, if they're renovating one, I guess you make some accommodations.
Well, here's what I would say. You obviously have at least a lane available for the TSA. You make that available for the public. And the TSA folks, guess what? They're limited to one area. TSA and Clear, they can go north. And it might be a little bit longer, and it will be a little bit longer, but you cannot shut down that whole side to the rest of the public. I think they're making a big mistake on this one. 6 past 2. Adam has a news update right here. Twins back in action tonight against the Rangers. It's Minor, right, for the Rangers, who is an excellent pitcher. Our club is at Odo tonight. Is that what we got going? All right. Pineda was good enough last night. Smeltzer was good enough last night. The lineup was fantastic. We'll talk more about the Twins with my father. The dumb baseball rule last night was it's 13-5. It's a 3-0 count. Jake Cave is a lunkhead. He when you watch him play, man, he does some foolish things. I'm sorry. They're playing the game. I'm fine with you swinging at a 3-0 pitch.
100%.
I have zero.
The result is the same.
Zero problem with it. And then, so what we have to do is we have to hit
plunk
the next guy.
Yeah. And not even like the first pitch. It was like three pitches
in the fourth pitch. Yeah. It was 3-0, and then he plunked.
What are you
them.
Doing? It was so dumb.
It almost looked like, well, I'm going to get to 3-0 just to show you I'll do the exact same thing. Oh, wow.
Tough guy.
I mean, seriously, just eliminate all the dumb baseball.
Devin Smelter, by the way, you're right, did a nice job last night. Has a plane ticket back to Rochester today. They called up Lewis Thorpe.
Thorpe's been okay. Patrick tweeted out early in the day, and he's 100% right. It's time to call up Bruce Dark Gratterall, right? The guy's in double A. His ERA is below 2. He's now healthy. He's coming to the bullpen twice this week. He's throwing 100 miles per hour. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? I know conceptually the bullpen should be better, but the facts are post-All-Star break, they have had the worst bullpen in baseball double in ineptitude compared to the next team. So you've got a guy who's in double A. They just didn't sign him out of high school. He's in double A. And they're all saying that there's a very, very good chance he gets called up in September. Carter, it's August 16th. He's not better than Stashek and Thorpe and Dobnik. Is that what the guy's
name? I think he already got sent down.
No, but I mean, but the guys. Yeah. I'm saying all the guys have been wheeling back.
Sure.
Cole Stewart, the guys who are just Littell. On the plane. Littell. I mean, all these guys are rotating over and over again. They just sleep at the airport in Rochester, and they just let them know. Call up Gratterall.
Well, and you're hitting the soft spot of your schedule. It's not like he's going to be going against the Yankee lineup or anything here. This is exactly the time you want him. Get him in there and let's see what he's got.
You're not putting him in there in the ninth inning. Figure out if you've got a weapon. You think 100 miles an hour doesn't play? And let's see if he has control of the strike zone. Let's see if he doesn't get rattled. It's kind of silly. Another move I don't quite get, but I didn't get quite a few of these September moves last year from the lads in charge. A Delta flight where they had a delay, Adam, on the plane itself. Nobody could get off the plane. What's your guess? How long the folks were on the plane?
6 hours.
8 hours. 8 hours. This was JFK headed to Miami, and according to people who were tweeting on the plane, it was getting ugly. There was screaming. There was yelling. There was pushing and shoving. 8 hours. No excuse. None. Zero. Zilch. This is Delta. You're on that plane. You and Jen, no kids. You're going to somewhere. You're going to Miami, right? What should you get for 8 hours? And they couldn't get you back into the terminal. $500?
More than that.
More than that.
Like I would think like a $1,000 travel voucher.
I'm fine with it. Because this is, well, there's criminality to this, right? We now have rules on the books, how long they can leave you out there. And there's just, there is no explanation at all, Dan, that they can't come up with some way over 3 hours, let alone 8 hours, to get you off that plane and find a gate. How about 2 hours? I mean, I can't even see how that's possible.
I mean, even at 2 hours, because at some point they're still thinking maybe they can get this fixed and get going.
Yep.
You don't want to deplane everybody and then have to turn around and replane them all right away. But you're right. I mean, before 2 hours, you have to hit a mark where you're going, okay, this thing's going to be a little bit longer than we think, and you got to get these people off that plane.
Adam's right. It's $1,000 minimum. I went too low. Epstein's former girlfriend, who it appears was the madam, right? That's pretty much who she was. She was finding the 13-year-olds, grooming them to have their lives destroyed by this disgusting human being. So she hadn't appeared in a while. We had reports that she was hiding in this part of Massachusetts. And then the other day, she was spotted in Southern California at an In-N-Out Burger. So guess what's happened to that In-N-Out Burger? A bunch of people are now showing up. What is wrong with you people? She's not there right now breaking down the Jeffrey Epstein story. If she was sitting there and she was telling you all the behind-the-scenes things, I might head over and find out. The fact that she was there and had a burger and you're just going there to see that she sat in this particular booth? You want to explain the theory of that one for me, Mr. Adam Carter?
I have no idea. You mean I thought at first you were talking they were showing up to protest the place, but they just wanted to see that she had been there?
Yep.
Oh.
And if they were protesting the place,
that would be just as absurd.
Yes. But right? I doubt In-N-Out went, "Hey, you're Mrs. Maxwell. We love the role you play with Jeffrey Epstein. How about an In-N-Out burger on the house?" I for some reason don't think it was that. Dan found this one. I think we might have talked about this before. I actually have no problem with this. Funeral homes now live streaming services. It points out 20% of funeral homes across the country are now offering a streaming service to families. Adam, I think it's only going to go up, right? I mean, somebody dies unexpectedly. You have people who can't get there. They live across the country. They don't have the cost. You can set up a feed, which is simple, and you're streaming it. Or how about this? It's your cousin who you really didn't know that well. And you want to pay respects in some way, but to be honest, you barely knew the person. Or it's a friend of a friend, and you want to pay your respects that way. Reasonable, or you're not doing enough? What do you think?
I mean, making it available, yeah, I don't see any problem in that. It's just, at what point are you, do I go to the, or do I just watch on the stream? And, I mean, the awkwardness that creates amongst the family. Well, I saw it on the stream. Well, thanks for showing up.
Well, I think what you're going to need to do also is check in, right? So if it's... if it's Aunt Agnes, because I just decided to go in the alliteration there. You want to make sure the rest of the family knows, Dan, that at least you live streamed Aunt Agnes's funeral just so they know you participated. I think you want that more than you told them. You want some check-in. When you check
sort
in.
Sort of screen in the corner, yeah. Look who's watching.
Yes. It points
like on a
out,
Facebook Live,
like
you can see who's
live
watching.
As,
Yeah.
You can maybe in comments.
Yeah,
that's not true.
I
she
never liked
them
anyway.
Is this service ever gonna end? Something like that. Tom Friedman, his comments about Israel. Let's chime in on that topic when we come back. Let me give you a little bit of Tom Friedman's column today in the New York Times. Someone who joins us occasionally on the show. And as always, is fantastic on the Middle East. I'm going to say this as simply and clearly as I can. If you're an American Jew and you're planning on voting for Donald Trump because you think he's pro-Israel, you're a damn fool. Oh, don't get me wrong. Trump has said and done many things that are in the interests of the current Israeli government and have been widely appreciated by the Israeli public. To deny that would be to deny the obvious. But here's what's also obvious. Trump's way of motivation for expressing his affection for Israel is guided by his political desire to improve his reelection chances by depicting the entire Republican Party as pro-Israel and the entire Democratic Party as anti-Israel. As a result, Trump, with the knowing help of Israel's current prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, is doing something no other American president and Israeli prime minister have ever done. They're making support for Israel a wedge issue in American politics. He talks about this right-wing former Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. Right-wing, I said, okay. Once a very close advisor to Netanyahu. He said this about 9 months ago. You reach out to Democrats, you reach out to Republicans, and you don't get caught playing partisan politics in the U.S., That is so, so true. Trump's campaign to tar the entire Democratic Party with some of the hostile views towards Israel of a few of its newly elected congresswomen. And Netanyahu's careless willingness to concede to Trump's demand is part of a process that will do huge long-term damage to Israel's interests in support in the U.S. He also says this about the comments by Tlaib and in particular Representative Omar. Don't get me wrong. I strongly oppose the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, which Representatives Omar and Tlaib have embraced. And because it wants to erase the possibility of a two-state solution, I am particularly unhappy with Representative Omar. Tom continues, I know a lot about her home district in Minnesota because I grew up in it. Omar represents the biggest concentration of Jews and Muslims living together in one district in the upper Midwest. She was perfectly placed to be a bridge builder between Muslims and Jews. Instead, sadly, she has been a bridge destroyer between the two since she came to Washington. But anytime she's legitimately criticized, Democrats automatically scream Islamophobia and defend her. That's as disturbing as Trump. I know more than a few Somali immigrants in Minneapolis who face so many challenges from gang violence and unemployment and are asking, why is Omar spending time on the West Bank of Jordan and not on the West Bank of Mississippi? Bravo. The ability to call out either side and to do it on a basis of, okay, 40 years of free Pulitzer Prizes. And because we got a bunch of these texts the other day, too, regarding the president's loyalty test and acting for a while like he wasn't influencing anything at all when his spokeswoman the morning before the tweet says he's not doing anything. And then he basically dared Bibi. Are you a coward? And then he's acting like he's not involved. And that's what he believes in. He believes in if you don't agree with the government of that country, you shouldn't be allowed. And is there any doubt that if there are elected officials from other countries who have spoken out against Donald Trump, he would say the same damn thing? He wanted the Muslim ban. We know that. And then he realized legally, or no, excuse me, he was told legally that would not hold up. It's a given. You, as a country, if it's a simple disagreement about policy issues, you should let individuals in. And then you hope they see a balance both sides. And by the way, if you don't agree with them, that's a part of the political process. It's not about everybody who comes into our country has to agree with the leadership, because guess what? Leadership changes. Hey, Bibi Netanyahu, by the way, is facing serious criminal charges right now. And Tom writes at length about what a lot of people think he will do if he's reelected, how he's going to try to stop those charges, which are after him and his wife, changing the work of the Knesset and the Israeli Supreme Court. But that's where we're at now. I'm sure Trump would love to have that same type of law that Israel has, where they can decide who comes into a country and who does not. Because if you do that, you're giving up on democracy. And the president is doing this about duly elected congresswomen. And again, I haven't agreed with many of the comments on Representative Omar and many of the comments by Representative Tlaib. And I was a bit confused by her backpedal today. I think she got so much heat from her supporters, she had to change her view for the third or fourth time. But the idea that the views of an entire party, by the way, an entire party that normally gets about 70 to 80% of the Jewish vote in this country, that they now all hate Israel, is so far from the truth. There's no factual basis of this. And if you believe this, then you don't believe in information. You're just a member of the flock. And no matter what your leader says, you believe him. You shouldn't believe the leader of any party, any country, no matter what. Even if philosophically, principally, you agree with them. when they're not telling the truth, be savvy enough to track it down. So, again, I encourage you to check out Tom Friedman's column. My father's in the house. Carter, would you like to lay out your agenda for this weekend for the folks who are following along?
No agenda. Living loose. Living free.
Well, I think he established that earlier, Dan, that he's inclined to live loose and
free. Well, that's what I meant by it.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
You want to bond a little bit this weekend?
Me?
I think I was talking to you, yeah.
With what? You?
Yeah, me.
No.
Wow. I'm in the room. I'm listening.
I'm aware.
Yeah. I could come over, spend some time. We could go over the schematics of the toilet paper if you'd like.
As long as you get it right.
Yeah. Dan could come over too. Maybe like Susie.
I'll leave the key under the mat.
Yeah. I don't think he means it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
My father is in studio. I thank him for that. We're still playing Aretha Franklin 1 year after her passing. Good to see you, sir. You look very nice in your brown suit today.
Thank you.
When did you buy your first suit, do you think?
When did I buy my first suit? Way before you were born.
Well, I would think so. I would think so. But do you remember? Okay, so you started working very early in your life.
I used to buy a lot of clothes from Saks.
Saks. Okay, but I'm talking when you're a kid. I'm talking as a kid now. Was there, I mean, like with your mom and dad, did you have a suit growing up for big events?
Well.
Like one suit, maybe.
Maybe one suit.
One suit?
One suit. In those days, the suits were expensive, and you couldn't afford suits. And I didn't wear suits most of the time.
Yeah.
I was dressed like you're dressed.
Yeah.
Kind of a...
Like a hobo, you're saying?
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing. Lacey, do you hear that? I'm dressed like nothing. I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt and shorts.
Nothing.
Yeah. But you always, since you've been working, you wear suits or you wear a sport coat. Yeah. Most of us in the media don't wear a suit or don't wear a sport coat. Why did you decide to do that?
Why do I wear suits? Well, I don't know. It was kind of the thing to do then, and I went over and covered all these guys, and you wanted to look decent.
So you felt like you could make a favorable impression on them.
You're correct.
Right? You used to have a guy at Dayton's for years and years and years who would alter your suits. Do you remember that guy? He was down the downtown Dayton's. I would go with you a lot, and he would help you pick out suits, and he would alter your suits for you. I don't remember his name, but he was a very, very nice man. Walter, maybe? I think it might have been a Walter who worked at the downtown Dayton's who helped you out with your suits an awful lot. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, like you said, a lot of people didn't wear suits.
Yeah.
A lot of people just dressed, I don't know.
More casual.
Now they're not wearing suits either.
No. Well, some guys do. Some guys. Now, what do I buy you almost all the time for Christmas or your birthday? What clothing item do I almost always buy you?
My birthday?
When it's your birthday or for Christmas. Yes, we celebrate Christmas. I buy you a dress shirt.
Yeah?
I will buy you a dress shirt. How often do you wear a dress shirt that I buy you?
Sweatshirt?
A dress shirt.
A dress suit?
Your dress shirt. When I buy you a dress shirt?
I don't think I wear it too much.
Yeah. Lacey, does he wear? I think if Lacey makes you wear one of the dress shirts.
I didn't wear no dress shirts that much. I wear maybe a sport coat and a nice pair of pants.
Yeah.
And a nice pair of shoes.
Yeah. And one of the shirts you have. Well, you look very handsome today. I appreciate you coming in. The Twins, Pineda last night. Pineda was decent last night. Pineda was not very good the first month. He has been on the injured list a couple times. They paid him obviously pretty good money last year just to rehab. But I think we have to say, giving Michael Pineda the money has worked out. He has been a good signing.
I don't know.
Don't you think Pineda, who started last night, has been a pretty good signing?
I think that's right.
Yeah, the starting pitcher from last night's game.
Starting pitching is terrible.
Yeah, but last night's starter, Pineda.
Last night he did a decent job.
Decent job,
yeah. And he scored enough runs for him.
Yeah.
So he didn't have to have pressure on him.
But if you look at the way he's pitched, if he's your fourth starter, and he might be the third starter, I think he has been okay. I think that is one move they made that was pretty good. Now, last week when we talked, you told me you were convinced Cleveland was going to win the division. Have you changed your mind, or do you think Cleveland will win the division?
I haven't changed my mind. Look what they did to the Yankees yesterday. They just killed the Yankees yesterday. They got so much power, and they made those trades that really helped them. Now they're going to get a pitcher back who broke his hand.
Broke his arm. Kluber.
Broke his arm.
Yep.
Now his arm, maybe a week or so.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Before this month is done.
They get him back. So that'll make him all the better. But so far the Twins are hanging in there. That guy Romo gave up that home run the other night to Milwaukee. They lost that game. Last night they killed Texas. So how do you know?
Well, you know this. You know they're going to win 50 games. You know they're going to lose 50 games. What happens? Romo, let's just talk about him, though. Since they picked him up from Miami, and yes, he gave up the home run the other day, but overall he's been very good.
Yeah. Yes, you're talking about Romo?
Yep.
Romo's been very good. The other guy came in, Dyson, is that his name?
Yep, the last two times he's been good.
Yeah, last two times he's been pretty good. The main thing is for the Twins to get Buxton back. And
Cruz back.
And Cruz back. Without those guys, they won't, they aren't going to go anyplace, in my opinion.
Well,
I need those two guys.
Well, they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I will be shocked if they don't make the playoffs. I think they can make the playoffs without those two guys. But you're talking about their best hitter in Cruz, who is hitting at a rate that very few of us have ever seen. It was just such a phenomenal stretch. And Buxton is so indispensable. What he does in the outfield and what he does for the lineup, he changes so much. Which one do they need more? Do they need Cruz more, or do they need Buxton more?
I think they need Buxton more.
Yep.
I think Buxton can run the bases. He can steal the base. He can make great plays in the center field. And he just hit a home run once in a while.
Yep.
Actually, you need them both.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Their pitching is so bad overall. They need them both.
They do. That is an interesting call, Dan. If they could only have one the rest of the way, it has been Buxton, their most indispensable most of the year. But if the way Cruz was going, and we don't know if he's going to come back. Let's put it, he's not going to come back that way. But how important he is to the lineup.
I mean, if you have to pick, I got to go Buxton.
I got to go Buxton, too. Yeah. I got to go Buxton, too. But not by a lot.
They need another thing to get to the shortstop to making errors.
Yeah.
Polanco.
Yeah,
you're
right.
He's been terrible. In the last month or so, he's just been brutal, and he's cost them a lot of games.
I think that's very fair. I think if you look at how they played the first 2 months in the field and running the bases, the first couple months of the season, they were very good. even though their record has been a little bit above 500 the last few months, they're making way more, significantly more errors, and they do some dumb stuff on the bases, too. Some of that is on, by the way, the manager. Yeah. You know, I mean, if we're giving the manager credit for errors where he absolutely deserves credit, when you play that sloppy in the field and that sloppy on the bases, the manager has to take some of the blame.
Well, it's all phases of the game.
Yep.
I mean, their catchers haven't been very good either. A lot of pass balls.
Yeah. Well, Garver hasn't been that good. Castro is good. Is very good.
Castro's been terrible.
No. Castro's not terrible behind the plate. No.
Garver.
Garver struggles more behind the plate. Yeah. But I heard on the radio broadcast last night that Castro was starting his seventh game last night in the month of August, which means it's pretty close to half the time. Garver should be starting 80% of the time behind home plate.
You should start.
I will take some of the fielding and the pitch framing. I'll take some of the losses there for the significant difference with Garver at the plate.
I think Garver should play all of the time.
Yeah.
The way he can hits home runs, won a lot of games and all that stuff. Castro is doing a lot better than he did last year.
That is correct.
But he still is not as good a hitter as Garver.
Okay, one more point on the Twins. Luis Arraez, the second baseman. I saw this stat today a couple places. In his first 55 games, he has 66 hits, okay? The only three guys who had more hits as a Twin in their first 55 games in order, Kirby Puckett, Tony Oliva, Rod Carew, Luis Arraez. I'd say that's pretty good company for the second baseman.
He's unbelievable. Yep. He's a young kid. They signed him out of Venezuela. He's last night he got two hits, right?
I think so. He had a home run last night for sure.
Got one big hit last night.
Homer, yep.
He's been amazing.
He's been fantastic.
No doubt about it.
It's 2:50. That is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to call for 50% off installation labor on Infinity by Marvin Windows. We got about 4 minutes left with my father. You wrote today about Kevin Stefanski, the new offensive coordinator for the Vikings. Tell me the biggest takeaway from talking with him.
Biggest takeaway?
Yeah. What stood out the most to you?
About Cousins.
Yep.
About Cousins. Cousins has to roll out and make more passes, and the defense, in my opinion, has to defense those rollout passes. Both ways, they got killed. The defense
but
got
we're,
killed.
We're, but we're talking offense right now. So let's just stay offense, and then we'll get to defense in a second. People are talking about Cousins running the ball more this year. I'm not buying it. Do you really think Cousins is going to be an effective runner this year?
No.
I don't. There's no.
I don't think he's capable of doing it.
I don't think he is either. Yeah. How much of Dalvin Cook will we see in the preseason?
Well, so far, they're afraid to play him.
Well, it's one game. It was one game.
That's... We'll see. I think they'll try him to run a lot. They will try and run. Kubiak wants to run the ball.
Yeah.
I've talked to him about that.
Yeah.
He thinks they can run the ball.
So who has final say? Kubiak or Stefanski?
Zimmer.
No. But on you're right. That is C is the correct answer. You're 100% right. But on the offensive side, who has the final say? Stefanski or Kubiak?
I think both of them.
Yeah, that's a non-answer. I think as the year goes along, I think Kubiak's influence will be bigger and bigger. That's my guess.
I think Kubiak has certainly had a more successful background than Stefanski. Stefanski is experienced.
Stefanski.
There's nothing.
Yeah. Well, but he's young, right?
Nothing.
The defense, you're right. People forget. The defense was took a step back last year. Why should we be convinced when a lot of these guys are you know, not exactly all in their prime right now? Why should we be convinced this defense is going to be better this year?
Yeah, they weren't very good against the Bears. And
a bunch of teams.
And other teams. The good teams gave them a lot of trouble. They got a tough schedule this year.
All right. We know you've been on if you've talked about the schedule. That is your favorite part. I love you. Thank you so much for coming in. And I'll listen to you on Sunday, okay?
Thank you.
My father, Sports Huddle, Sunday, 10 o'clock right here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.